Now, just in case you're thinking that Estonia may be the only country who's on this path, this digital path, not so. Finland, Japan, Cyprus have all taken cues from Estonia, and they're either working with Estonian companies to build e-tax platforms in their own countries, as an example, or they're borrowing the Estonian ID card system, which assigns each citizen a catch-all ID that can be used for purposes, is this sounding good, ranging from Social Security to voting to disaster response. Estonian ID card system, which assigns each citizen a catch-all ID. The country has made more progress than any other, according to Darrell West, who's vice president and director of governance studies at the Brookings Institute. So this isn't just Estonian leaders singing their own praises. Other people from other countries are looking at what Estonia has done and is doing, and they're saying, wow. An e-government program packs a double punch in that it functions like a creator for tech jobs. Pipparel says that e-Estonia pumps out technical roles to support the system, just like any new industry. They need more engineers, more designers, more testers, more programmers, more architects. And wait, there's more. They need more copywriters, more social media experts, and more web developers. They're truly building an industry. And Helen Margetts, who's a professor of society and the internet at the University of Oxford, says that what they're doing is a very interesting example. She says that after the Soviet era, Estonia ditched legacy systems and they started from scratch. They decided after the Soviet era to be paperless. So they just went for a neat solution, which comes nearer than any other government. Keep in mind that Estonia regained independence from the Soviet Union in 1991. But they live in a world, we all live in a world of constant headlines of data breaches, hacked Facebook profiles, stolen credit card numbers, swiped passwords, lifted savings accounts. So why should people trust all of their info being housed in a single, centralized online platform? Since, a lot of critics say, it's potentially hackable. Would you want to trust all of your information to a national e-site? All of your information, your medical information, your financial information, your tax information, everything right there. Well, in 2014, researchers at the University of Michigan conducted a study that identified major risks in the security of Estonia's internet voting system, and they recommended its immediate withdrawal. But e-Estonia says that the voting system has security in place to safeguard the integrity of votes, such as those state-issued ID cards that are assigned to each citizen that allows them to use the online services like online banking or electronic voting. And it says its blockchain technology strives to ensure that no one, not hackers, not system administrators, not even government itself, can manipulate the data and get away with that. Would you feel comfortable with that assurance? Their blockchain technology ensuring that no one can manipulate data and get away with it. Could anyone steal data? That's been a big problem. Well, cybersecurity, according to West, is a real risk when you have everything on a single platform. He points to 2007, an infamous crisis in which Russia waged what's considered the first cyber war on Estonia. Banks had their servers knocked out. Cash machines were rendered unusable. As Estonian newspapers struggled to keep up with the chaos, journalists were suddenly unable to upload articles to be printed in time. West called the 2007 Russian cyber attack the equivalent of bombing physical infrastructure and making it inaccessible to people. West also says that most governments haven't embraced online voting due to cybersecurity concerns, despite increasing concern that Russia may have influenced elections in a number of countries and not just in America. I want to just ask you, do you have any concerns about our president's words of encouragement to Vladimir Putin, to Russia, to hack the computers of the Democratic Party? A man who at the time was running for president, urging a nation that is considered to be a hostile enemy of the United States to hack into the computers of his fellow citizens. Russian cyber attacks. Can they take place now? And not just Russian cyber attacks, but cyber attacks from any country, any organization. Estonia's Pipero points out that Estonia's voting system has never been hacked or compromised. Is that comforting to you? That it has not happened yet? And that in an age of machine-based elections being hacked, such as recently in the U.S., it may be better to have one piece of software rather than millions of machines that were hacked in the end. Besides, you can cripple a government's elections in a lot of different ways, according to West. You can use fake news, which we know now was used quite a bit, particularly in support of Donald Trump's campaign. Disinformation campaigns, deceptive advertising, social media attacks. But even if the benefits of an e-government outweigh the risks, could Estonia's model even be replicated elsewhere necessarily? If the benefits outweigh the risks, the benefits of having an e-government, could other countries replicate Estonia's model? Experts say that it's simply been a priority there. Estonia viewed an e-government as an important goal and they got it done. But it's a concept that doesn't always scale. Again, Estonia is a relatively small country with a population of just over 1.3 million for the whole country and a size that matches that of Belgium or West Virginia. Plus, comparing Estonia to larger Western countries like the UK or the US is an apples to oranges exercise. The British and American governments, for instance, are much more complex and a much more Byzantine accord compared to Estonia's, with myriad departments and myriad laws that may change depending on where in the country you are. Never mind the fact that the bigger the country, the tougher it is to erect a one-stop shop digital society like Estonia's. In a big country, you might have lots of people speaking lots of languages, which complicates things. It's easier to streamline services when you have a place that is small and homogenous. Think of the IRS in the US or HMRC in the UK. These are really huge organizations, and they don't want a small unit in the center telling them what to do. That's a problem in a very big government when you've got lots of legacy systems lying around, according to Margus. But if it can be pulled off, an e-government beats spending hours in a windowless government office and being, as they put it, barked at by an overworked desk employee. And even amid an increasingly complex world, and it is increasingly complex, whether you look at the waging of war or anything else that complicates life, a world filled with cyber wars and international espionage, the unrelenting digitization of our day-to-day lives doesn't seem to be stopping anytime soon. It's the future, and experts say that there is no reason to think that running a government won't inevitably be yet another task that fully ends up on the internet. That's why it could be one of the biggest ideas of the 21st century. Take a look at Amazon. It's just a website, right? Think about it. When you think of Amazon, you don't think of buildings. Do you think of buildings when you think of government? Margaret said, you probably don't. Essentially, government is just a website. going forward. Are you ready for that?